fifth case of the day, Ramey v. Astrew. Mr. Verana.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Timothy J. Verana. I represent Sharon Ramey. In this case, the ALJ's determination and subsequently the commissioner's and the district court's determination needs to be reversed because the ALJ erred in making his credibility determinations in two different ways.
How old is this woman, by the way?
This woman was born in June of 1958, so she would now be 50. She was in her her insured status expired on March the 31st of 2005, so at that point she would have been 46. The ALJ erred in two different ways with credibility. One was that he failed to analyze all of the factors that he's required to analyze according to both a regulation and a Social Security ruling, and he also erred in some of his credibility findings in that they're either factually incorrect or illogical. And these are not demeanor findings. These are credibility errors of law. First, with the things that he did find in terms of the factors that he did look at, the very first thing, the first thing that he mentions in terms of why he doesn't find her fully credible is he said nowhere before the hearing did the claimant list or mention that she had done some construction work where she lifted up to 75 pounds. And in fact, she did. And that's at page 106 of the record, and even the commissioner admits that that was an error by the ALJ. And I think that's important because that was his first, I mean, right out of the gate, that's the first thing he says is, I find her less than fully credible because of this fact, and it turns out that fact is incorrect. He also found her less than fully credible on the basis of what he said she definitely engaged in significant drug-seeking behavior. Now, that sentence came right on the heels of a sentence where the ALJ said it's difficult to determine whether she engaged in drug-seeking behavior. Now, there's no question that she overtook some Xanax and she overtook some OxyContin. We're not disputing that. But he says it's difficult to determine it, and then he turns right around and says, definitely she did. And he does that without any reasoning. Now, none of her doctors, none of Ms. Ramey's doctors said she was engaged in drug-seeking behavior.
Well, one of them, suspected it.
A couple of them clearly suspected it. And they discussed it. I mean, the Dr. Shook brought it up, and he thought about it. He looked at it, and he said, given what's going on with her, I don't think she is. The judge, nonetheless, and I don't think he has the expertise to do that. You know, doctors are trained to know what is and is not drug-seeking behavior. I don't think that judges are. I don't remember taking that class in law school. So I think that was a finding, and he did this without any medical expert. If a medical expert had been at the hearing that and said, I think she was doing engaging in drug-seeking behavior, that would be something different. But there was no medical expertise at the hearing. And then he also talks about, in connection with this alleged drug-seeking behavior, he wrote a significant amount of pain medication was not used for her pain. And that's simply not true. There's no evidence of that in the record. There is evidence that she overtook some OxyContin and then goes into the doctor and says, I overtook OxyContin. If we're talking about credibility. Then there was also what I think is a minor issue about her son taking some of her medicine. We don't know what that was about, but there's simply no evidence to support the ALJ's statement that a significant amount of her pain medication was not used for pain. And that was a basis for him finding that she was engaged in drug-seeking behavior. So the foundation for that finding is absent as well. He also wrote that her activities of daily living were inconsistent with her disabling pain. And he lists her activities of daily living. He says she can vacuum, although there's no mention of how long she does it. And there's nothing in the record about it. It just says she vacuums. She does laundry every 4 days. Again, we don't know for how long. Grocery shops with her husband every 2 weeks. Again, we don't know how long. We do know that there is something in the record, although he didn't mention it in the decision, that she never goes grocery shopping by herself. She can sweep with a push broom, although we don't know how long. Goes to church once per week. We don't know how long, or we don't know if she has to get up and sit down and get up and sit down. He says it is especially inconsistent that she can drive and is able to drive alone. Again, we don't know how long. She lives in North Vernon, Indiana. It's a small town. So we don't know how far she goes. So there's no... Her activities of daily living, as accurately described by the ALJ, are not inconsistent with complaints of disabling pain. So once you eliminate those three reasons, what you're left with are, by my count, three other reasons, and I don't think these add up to a finding that she's not fully credible. One of the three that's true is he says there's no documented visit to any physician in September 2002. That's true, but so what? September 2002 was the date of her amended onset date. She had been in a lot of pain for a long time. She was trying to work despite that. She got to September of 2002. They cut her hours to 10 hours a week, and she said, that's enough. I'm not going to try to do this anymore.
Now, am I correct that nobody ever identified any cause of this pain? Now, that's certainly not determinative of her status, but isn't that a fact?
I don't think it is. And I think and we're used to looking in these cases, and I'm guilty of it too, we see a lot of low back pain, arthritis. Let's look at x-rays and MRIs of the lumbar spine. What you have here is a neurological issue. And in the record at page 234 is her first exam by Dr. Policia, who's a pain management specialist. And among his findings that have pretty much escaped everybody was a finding that she had sensory loss down to 2 out of 5, which is very significant. I mean, 5 out of 5 being normal. She had sensory loss 2 out of 5 in the lateral femoral cutaneous nerve. And that's a nerve that comes off of, I think it's L2-3, and goes down through the pelvis and on into the legs. And that led to Dr. Policia's diagnosis of something called moralgia parasthetica, which is a very painful neuropathy. So that it all makes sense, and that's something that kind of got overlooked in all of this. So when you're talking about did she go to the doctor, she has consistent doctor visits, and there's once she got to Dr. Policia in January of 2002, there is this objective finding of a nerve of sensory loss, followed by this consistent diagnosis of moralgia parasthetica bilaterally.
Was there any consensus of the doctors that in fact, was the cause of her pain?
I don't know that there was. I don't know that Dr. Shook, who is her family physician, never identified that. He didn't find that on exam. He didn't examine for it. He referred her to Dr. Policia. Dr. Policia very clearly stays with that diagnosis.
If this goes back, what's going to be new? What is going to be overlooked? I guess at a new hearing or what?
Well, at a new hearing, what we'll have is this recognition of this objective finding back in January of 2002. We'll have a recognition that some of these findings. That the findings of credibility were lacking, and once you take out the erroneous bases for a finding of less than fully credible, and add in the findings that he should have discussed, which are in my brief, and I haven't had a chance to talk about here yet today, but you end up with a totally different view of Ms. Ramey and her credibility. So I think it's very important that the case be remanded so that we can the ALJ can take a fresh look at her credibility.
You want to sit? Well, your time has expired, but I'll allow a little time for rebuttal, Mr. Brown.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Your Honor. John Martin for the commissioner in this case. This is a case where the ALJ Mr. Brain has pretty much just attacked the ALJ's credibility finding. This is a case where the ALJ made a very detailed and complete credibility finding. In fact, the district court wrote, the ALJ discussed in detail the proper factors addressing Ms. Ramey's credibility. There was no significant omission in the ALJ's review of the relevant criteria. Those are the exact words of the district court. Now, one fact that Mr. Reyna is really missing here, and in regard to this, right off the bat, the ALJ made a mistake. What he's missing is that his claimant originally said that she was disabled as of June 1, 2000. Now, the very document that Mr. Reyna is saying the ALJ missed is the very document that the ALJ confronted her with at the hearing and said, tell me about this work that you did after you alleged that June of 2000 was your onset date. And she discussed working at a restaurant and doing extremely heavy work, even saying that she lifted 50 to 75 pounds in the summer of 2002, in other words, right before her alleged, the date that she eventually agreed on was her alleged onset date. And this testimony, I think the ALJ refers to it in his decision, is rather strange. She said she didn't get paid for any of this work. The ALJ even called in her husband to corroborate this testimony. And so this point about right off the bat the ALJ made a mistake, the point that the ALJ was trying to make there is not that she didn't tell anybody about this, but that here's a person who said, I'm disabled back to June of 2000, yet I really worked until September of 2002. And that, I think, is a very significant discrepancy.
When was the construction work on building the restaurant?
Where was it?
When?
She and her husband disagreed on it a little bit. It at least was up to, I think, June of 2002. And then after that, she said she worked at the restaurant. And at one point in her testimony, she said she was injured while she was working at the restaurant. But at another point, I think it's at TR 415 in her testimony, she said the real reason she stopped working at the restaurant was not that she was injured there, but that they cut her hours and it was too far for her to drive to just work 10 hours.
ALJ didn't rely on this discrepancy in dates, did he? He just relied on the fact that, or he said she didn't talk about her being involved in the construction of the restaurant.
Right, and I would ask the court to just,
I mean, you're telling us about the discrepancy of the case. The ALJ did not.
Well, the ALJ made her, no, Your Honor, I am, because the ALJ made her change her onset date based on those very facts. This claim, when she went into her hearing, she said, she's still sticking with the June of 2000 onset date. And at the hearing, at the very hearing, she changed her onset date to September 20th, 2002, which is quite a significant change. And she certainly worked at that time, and that's the point that the district court makes, that the significant point here is that she worked at a time she was originally claiming to be disabled. And the other fact here is that she did, at least according to her testimony, very significant work. What Mr. Brain is trying to tell us is this is a person who's saying, I cannot even lift 5 pounds, yet she testified that as late as June of 2002, she was lifting 50 pounds working on this restaurant. And the other point I think that's significant in this case is there was a question about doctors. The fact is that in this case, really, after January of 2002, the only doctor she really sees is this pain specialist, Dr. Pelliccia. And if you look at all the doctor's opinions in this record, you'll find no doctor that supports this claim that she can only lift 5 pounds. Prior to January of 2002, she saw her family physician, Dr. Shuck. She saw Dr. Shuck on a fairly consistent basis. He never listed any limitations whatsoever for her. After that, she saw Dr. Pulizia. She did see Dr. Pulizia on a fairly consistent basis. Dr. Pulizia has never set out any work-related limitations for this claimant. The Social Security Administration or the Bureau of Disability Determination Services referred her to Dr. Budzinski. Dr. Budzinski saw her in January of 2003, roughly about 6 months after the alleged onset date. Dr. Budzinski said she has absolutely no limitations at all. So there's no doctor anywhere in this record who says she can't lift 5 pounds. There's no limitations at all for this claimant. And yet the ALJ made a very reasonable RFC finding limiting her to a range of sedentary work. He posed a hypothetical based on that RFC. The vocational expert said there were jobs that she could do. This person can work. There's no doctor opinion that supports her claim that she cannot lift 5 pounds. Her other credibility claim is that she cannot sit for 30 minutes at a time. The ALJ, right in his decision, said the hearing was more than 45 minutes. She sat through the hearing. So the ALJ contradicted that. The ALJ also noted that she had a poor work record. The ALJ talked about all the treatment modalities she had used. As I said, the ALJ's credibility finding is very complete, and for those reasons, we would ask you to affirm the ALJ's decision.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Ms. Miranda, you may have 2 minutes.
Very quickly, on that first basis for credibility finding, as it was pointed out, the credibility finding was based on that she didn't say anything about I was working construction lifting up to 75 pounds, and in fact she did. As to the onset date, yes, when she applied, she alleged onset date of June 1 of 2000. It's very difficult when there's kind of spotty, not very well-paid work to determine an onset date in a Social Security case. You get into questions of what is and what isn't substantial gainful activity, or the trial work periods. And if you look at her earnings record on page 54 of the record, you'll see why she and the claims rep together ended up with this date of June 1 of 2000, because since then, in fact, she didn't engage in substantial gainful activity. She was having pain. True, at the hearing, the ALJ and the attorney together worked through and came up with what I think is an appropriate September 20 of 2002 onset date, but it's certainly understandable how she could have started out with this June 1 of 2000 date. Dr. Budzinski did indeed find nothing normal. That exam took place within about 3 weeks of when Ms. Ramey had her spinal cord stimulator implanted. It gave her relief for a while, including that time period when Dr. Budzinski examined her, but by a month later she was having problems. It ended up a year and a half later being removed.
What was the diagnosis everybody overlooked? You mentioned in
It's called Moralgia Parasthetica.
And where's that in the record?
That's at 234. It's actually that finding of the sensory loss, the 2 over 5 in the lateral femoral cutaneous nerve, is at 234. The diagnosis starts then and goes throughout Dr. Pulizia's record. If I make one more quick point, she did sit through the entire hearing. The record shows that she sat through the entire hearing with her leg elevated.
How long was the hearing?
I believe it was 58 minutes.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Martin.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Martin. The case is taken under advisement.